Okay, a hearty good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
Welcome. Tonight's song, taken from Destiny, is called Tomorrow. And the theme, as you'll see, is an alcoholic who says that he's ready for change in his life. And hopefully we will be able to develop this in many different directions, all of them describing different changes that people implement in their lives and what strategy is most effective.
Tomorrow is the day I'm gonna change. Gonna be a different man once and for all. Yes, I've had enough of beer and wine. Do I guess it's finally time? Tomorrow is the day I'm gonna change. Tomorrow is the day I'm gonna change. Yeah, I can feel it in my bones. Enough on benches and ways, enough in hell on rainy days. Tomorrow is the day I'm gonna change. But not today, oh not today. Gonna live it up just one more day. Cause I've got time, oh I've got time. Hey brother, can you pass me down the wine? Tomorrow is the day I'm gonna change. Gonna undo all the things that I have done. Gonna start again just like brand new. I'm gonna get a good job too. Tomorrow, that's the day. Gonna spend time with family and friends. Gonna visit Bobby in LA. Gonna call and tell him about my friend Jay. Tomorrow, that's the day. But not today, oh not today. Gonna live it up just one more day. Cause I've got time, oh I've got time. Hey brother, can you pass me down the wine?
A delightful song. Where during the song did you finally come to the realization that this guy's got a problem? First line?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I think, you know, when we find out he's 82, close to the end.
Okay.
Give him a chance.
One suggestion was, the minute he said the word tomorrow, we're in trouble. Another possibility is we can give him the benefit of doubt, and until we realize that he's been doing this most of his life, then we finally cracked and said, nothing doing with this guy.
I would say in between.
Yeah.
At what point?
But not but today.
But not today. Yeah, that's
very good. Very good. Very good. The first time I heard this song, I really felt that I could be benevolent, and you'll see why in a few moments, during the entire first section. Until the tomorrow is not that I'm building towards tomorrow, but it's tomorrow and not today, then I cracked. That I can't handle. But not today kills it. Especially with the second sentence. Gonna live it up just one more day. That is not the attitude of true change. Attitude of true change is not, this is a good thing and I'm hesitant to give it up. But as we will see, there are going to be times in life where you can't give it up entirely until tomorrow. Or the next day, or maybe in a year. And it's a process. And again, I personally, from my perspective, don't have trouble with the word tomorrow. But it's got to be a strategic tomorrow. Not a tomorrow as we see it in this song. Hey brother, can you pass me down the wine? That kind of tomorrow. Turn over to the second side. Again, Tomorrow by Ellie Nathan, Destiny 3. And I gave you a little clarification as we start. What's the definition of addiction? Don't give me technical definitions. I'm looking for a philosophical definition. Because you could have addictions in your life that would never be defined as addictions, but they really are. Addiction
that you can't control. That.
Well, I'll get to the not controlling in a moment. Because ultimately, we believe even addictions could be controlled. And there are going to be cases of non-addictions that you're going to have trouble controlling. So you have to use the right strategies for things. To a certain extent, it is unfair. We're using this song as a springboard, but there are people who are alcoholics who will not be able to solve their problem without help. They're getting into chemical issues, and they're getting into all kinds of therapy issues, and if they don't go through a process, they won't. It's not just willpower. But it's a great springboard, nevertheless, for what are we looking for? What kind of strategies are we looking to implement? Addiction, philosophically, is short-term gain, long-term loss, repeatedly, seemingly out of control. But the key philosophy there is short-term gain. I get a high from this action, but it's long-term loss. This is a stupid direction. I know it. And that's why I made a song about it. Tomorrow, but not today. Investment, in contrast, which is what we're focused on, short-term loss, long-term gain. Classic example is a retirement account. Very long-term. But philosophically, we understand its purpose. Now, if a person can't handle long-term gain because it's too long, so you shorten it. So you get into the habit. You could save an entire week and then spend it by going on an outing. You could save for 10 months and then go on a vacation. You shorten the time period so that the gratification is a little bit closer and you get into the habit of delayed gratification. The ultimate extreme is the child that needs the candy now. Okay. Once we're out of the clarification, what is the Jewish perspective on the concept of tomorrow? Is the attitude, I'll take care of it tomorrow, a good attitude or a bad attitude?
Bad.
If you can do tomorrow, do today.
Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today.
Yes.
The expression is that you should do tshuva before you die. Mm-hmm. And being that you don't know when that is, so you're always doing tshuva. Tshuva is spiritual growth. And we'll see, one step at a time. And if a person does that every day of their life, they're in good shape. Don't put off for tomorrow. But we have sources, biblical sources, for the attitude. Quote number one. Avram was told to sacrifice his son. It's real prophecy. He knows it's true. He talks to God. He knows what this is about. Avram arose in the morning, asks the Medrash, why did he rise early? He arose in the morning, got up early, because we hurry to do mitzvahs. From the first Jew, you already have this attitude, even though it's going to be a challenging mitzvah. Sacrificing his son was not an easy thing to do, but if in true prophecy he's told that's the test, then he's ready to do it. Similarly, we extend this to all mitzvahs. You ever wonder why a bris, circumcision, is done in the morning? Why not lazy it out till the afternoon, especially if it's a Sunday? What's bris food in a Jewish culture?
Breakfast, bagels.
Bagels and lox. Bring on the cream cheese. Rarely does it end up in the afternoon. And usually then it's only if there was a health reason that they were waiting for an approval from the doctor. It's in the morning. This is the source. On the eighth day, you do the circumcision. Anytime during the eighth day, technically, but we hurry to do mitzvahs early in the day. Earliest reasonable opportunity, we're doing the mitzvah. Another source. This is beautiful. Jewish people love to frame our heroes. Moshe. Quote number two. A person who loves money will never be satisfied with the amount of money that he has. You have to love something. Do you ever notice fish? There's a description. Even though they live in water, when it rains, they're busy jumping. They want to catch more water. If you love something, and the same thing the Talmud says, if you love mitzvahs, whatever it is that you're infatuated with, Rav Mendel Kaplan, one of the great educators in Philadelphia, once wanted to have a little business on the side to make a little extra money. So he tried a wine business. And he pressed wine and he processed it. And somehow he couldn't make money. So he asked one of his students, what am I doing wrong? So they told him, the only way you could make money in the business world is if you love money and you want to make lots of it. If you're just trying to run a business to make a little bit of money to supplement your income, so that's not an entrepreneur. It doesn't work like that. You want to make money, you got to love it. You got to want to make a lot. And then you make whatever you make. Moshe is described by the religious form of that proverb. Rav Mendel Kaplan, by the way, went out of the business. He said, I can never love money. I need enough money to survive. I cannot love money, and therefore, if I don't belong in business, I don't belong in business. A person who loves money will never be satisfied with money. This is Moshe. In other words, the religious form of this is Moshe. Moshe loved mitzvahs. He knew that the three cities of refuge would not take effect until the three in the land of Israel proper would be designated. Nevertheless, he said, a mitzvah that comes to my hand, I shall fulfill. What is a city of refuge? What are we talking about? Person who killed accidentally. Killed accidentally. So we can't prosecute him as a capital offense because he didn't intend to kill. On the other hand, he needs an atonement because this is pretty bad. He killed somebody by mistake. So we have a concept called a city of refuge. His atonement is that he runs from his city where he lived and he goes to a designated city that was a safe house. And he had to stay there for a designated period of time. Those cities, by the way, usually were the cities of Levium. They were holy cities. And our assumption is that if he accidentally killed and God didn't protect him from such a terrible thing, he probably needs to be uplifted spiritually a little bit more so that he's protected from hurting people. So we want him to spend a little time among the Levium and elevate himself, and then eventually he'll go back to his home. Now, there were six primary cities of this type, three in land of Israel proper, and three in the annexed part that became the land of Israel, the part that Moshe himself conquered, even though Moshe didn't cross the Jordan, but he conquered a significant portion that would become the land of Israel. So Moshe does not cross the Jordan, so he doesn't have the opportunity to designate the three that are in the land of Israel, but he does have the opportunity to designate the three on his side of the Jordan. What does he do? The three aren't going to take effect until all six are designated. But Moshe says, rubs his hands with glee, if I have the opportunity to do a mitzvah, even part of a mitzvah, I want to try to do it. And that's again the Jewish perspective, opportunity to do a mitzvah, even half a mitzvah. I want that opportunity, I want to do it now. We even have a very nice quip. Matzah and mitzvah are very similar words. The expression is, don't let a mitzvah become chametz. How does matzah become chametz? If you leave it sitting without kneading it, without processing it for too long, it becomes leaven. It rises. So the expression is, don't let a mitzvah become chametz. If there's a mitzvah around, it's passing around, let me grab it, let me do it, let me sink my teeth into it. And finally, one final quote, again, diametrically opposed to the song that the person sang, Reb Tzadok writes, the start of a person's service to Hashem has to always be with haste. You want to start a project. You want to start anything. You got to start it with a bang. A lot of extra energy. As we find with the Pesach of Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people had to become a people, their first mitzvah, they have to eat it with haste, unlike the Pesach for generations. Pesach for generations was one of the most festive, enjoyable times. There are accounts written, particularly by one Roman who visited, and he describes how the Jews are just totally enveloped in the beauty of the mitzvah. Everybody would bring their lamb representing the family, and that lamb would end up being eaten. Everybody together as a family, very calm, very pleasant. But the original Pesach was everybody with their coats ready to run, an excitement. That's how mitzvahs have to start. The start has to detach the person from the physical desires. The person must therefore treasure the moment of inspiration, move quickly to take advantage of it. Afterwards, he can proceed at a normal pace, like the Pesach of generations. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz once gave an inspirational shmooze And at the conclusion of his lecture, which was given in the middle of a meal, one of the students picked himself up and ran off to the study hall to study. And he studied for 3 hours straight. And this was a student who they would have trouble with. But it was a good sermon. Good. Someone commented to Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, but the guy didn't say Berachas HaMazon. He didn't say grace after meals. So is it a mitzvah or is it an aveira? Is it good or bad? He ran off, he snapped out of his problem, 3 hours of learning, this is great, but he forgot a mitzvah that he's supposed to be doing.
Being often in this situation, I'm interested to hear the answer.
Okay. Well, normally the answer is you got to do the mitzvah you're supposed to do. We're not smarter than mitzvahs. And you do the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon, and then you go do the next mitzvah, normally. This particular person who got so passionate and he forgot himself and he ran off. He finally got motivated. So it's a mistake. And we're not going to run and call him back to correct it. It's a mistake. And he ran and did his mistake, but he's saving his life. Because at that moment of inspiration, you have to grab it. And you have to go do what you have to do with that moment of inspiration. Anytime, it's a rule in life, anytime you're inspired by anything, go do something tangible as a result. Because if you don't, it's lost. Human being doesn't live on emotion. You got to do something with the emotion, and then the emotion becomes real. We live in a real world. And this is the concept that's so important. Had this person that we described in the song taken a motivational step, even a small step, as we'll see in a few minutes, he could have saved himself. But what's happening is he's inspired, he knows he should do something, and he's going to take care of it tomorrow. And therefore, whatever motivation, even when he hits rock bottom is sometimes the best thing. That's where you push off from. Right? When you're swimming, you hit rock bottom, you're able to push off. But if you don't take that action at the moment that you have the motivation, even if it's rock bottom motivation, then tomorrow is not going to be any better. The emphasis that I would like to bring out is that tomorrow is not a bad word in Jewish philosophy. The word tomorrow alone of this song is not the failure. Because tomorrow definitely comes up in Jewish literature as a strategy. If the person is truly working on today what they can work on today, and tomorrow, tomorrow, it's a strategy, 100% it works. Take a look at quote number 4. Probably the most pronounced usage of the word tomorrow is a beautiful song that's part of Jewish literature for the day before Yom Kippur. Now, Yom Kippur certainly is not the attitude of tomorrow and not today. We spend 40 days preparing for Yom Kippur, if not the whole year. They once told Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Pesach time, that Yom Kippur is going to be in 6 months. They say he fainted. You know, I'm not on track. We say tomorrow, but it's tomorrow with reverence. Tomorrow with, I'm looking forward to it, I'm working towards it. There's an endeavor. Tomorrow will be this sign. To your protection will come the children who were banished. We think of ourselves like we've been flying around the world for a year. And finally at Yom Kippur we're going to land. As they gather in the synagogue, they tremble regarding the verdict. They understand a good year or not a good year It's all in the balance. May you recall the kindness of their fathers as the time of confrontation nears. May truth and peace meet and unite one with the other. What's the concept of truth and peace meeting? On the one hand, we're not looking to lie. On the other hand, we still want goodness. Somehow God should unite truth and peace. Tomorrow will be this sign. And this is a selection of recognition that God wants it to work out for us. And we want it to work out. And we're working to a good resolution of the judgment. Tomorrow. But it's very different than the tomorrow of the song. That's a perpetual tomorrow. This is a tomorrow that we're very well aware we're going to arrive at. There's nothing wrong with being in touch with yourself and knowing what you can handle today and what you have to put off for tomorrow. Nothing wrong, actually. Everything right. That's the way it's got to be. Reb Moshe Sternbach, who is, as you'll excuse me, ultra-religious as you can get. I mean, he's a judge on one of the high courts in Jerusalem. If you met him on the street, you'd get nervous because, like, you wouldn't know, like, where he's coming from. But he's devoted Jew, sweet person, compassionate, empathetic. And he wrote a beautiful comment regarding people who are trying to grow in Judaism, hopefully all of us. Rabbi Becher once asked him this question, and I heard this from Rabbi Becher orally, what I later found in print. Rabbi Becher said, if a person's trying to grow in Judaism, which mitzvah should he start with? Rav Sternbach answered, the point of least resistance. Whatever works. Because that positive experience will be positive reinforcement. If I could do this mitzvah, I can do any mitzvah. Some person might start with shatnez, not to wear clothing mixed with wool and linen and having their garments checked. Different person will be kosher, different person Shabbos, a different person with candle lighting. The point of least resistance, people are different, and to a great extent, in order to coach somebody, you have to get feedback. A person has to look at a list of mitzvahs and say, I went to this class, I went to that class, I'm thinking, I'm toying different mitzvahs until I find one. And again, that tomorrow is not a tomorrow of procrastination. That's a tomorrow of, in order to be my own coach, I have to become educated enough to know what we're dealing with. It's not an athlete who's sitting there observing the DVDs forever, watching other people do it. It's the athlete who's actually checking out. Do I want to be this type of athlete? Let me experiment. Do I have this? Let me test myself. What type of endurance do I have? Rav Sternbach writes, a person who is returning in tshuva is in the process. One who has begun the journey towards the way of Torah, but he is not called a baal teshuva, a master of teshuva, until he completes the journey to become an observant Jew. So it's a process. Okay. How do you proceed on the process? The general rule is that we teach and implement observance one step at a time. One needs to first sit, then stand, then walk, then run. It's almost like, hello, let's proclaim the obvious, please. A person should be taught and should implement observance according to a pace that works. If observing kosher is easiest among the mitzvahs, that's a good starting point. Even though technically, he points out, Shabbos is more serious in certain ways. But if the point of least resistance is whatever mitzvah it is, then that's where you start. And again, that's not a tomorrow of procrastination. This, by the way, is very different for a person who's converting to Judaism. If a person's converting to Judaism, they have to accept all of it at once. The Jews at Mount Sinai said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do it, we will observe it 100%, now let's hear what the commandments are. We're in. And that attitude by a convert is critical, otherwise it's not a good conversion. By a Jew who was born Jewish and is growing, they may very well say, I can't handle that now, Rabbi. Let's deal with kosher in this example. And that's fine. Nothing wrong. It doesn't change his amount of Jewishness. It's a process, it's a journey, and a person has to know, you sit, then you stand, you walk, then you run. Very powerful, especially, I'm sorry I didn't bring you a picture of Rav Sternbuch, but if you saw him, you would appreciate that much more how in touch he is with what Judaism expects of different people. And if a person didn't grow up with it, then there's a process, just like by everybody, there's a process. There are, however, specific strategies that people can implement, and this gets a drop Kabbalistic, but the human being is comprised on a basic level of intellect, emotion, and physicality action. Again, intellect, emotion, and action. If when you are trying to do something, and you're really trying, you want to make investment, you want to pull yourself out of addiction, so to speak, something that you just keep doing and don't know how to stop, you may find that you can't do it on all levels at first, but that you're only able to address one of those levels, and from that level, it will grow to the other levels. You may find that all you can do right now is study about the mitzvah. You have no emotional attachment at this point. You're certainly not observing it yet. But you can study it. Hey, Rabbi, you want to study? We can study. Study about mezuzah. How much is it going to cost me? Oh, $45 a clip. But let's just study right now. Okay, let's study. A person may find that emotionally they have an affinity to the mitzvah, but that's all they have right now. How do you grow from that to the other areas? A person may have the attitude of mind over matter. I can do the mitzvah. I can do it. But that's all I can do. I have no connection. You want me to do it, I'll do it. You want me to put the tefillin on by the bus stop in Israel, you know, I'll put the tefillin on my arm. What am I doing? Why am I doing it? At this point, I have no connection. But if it makes you happy, fine. Lighting the candles. At first, maybe no connection. But hey, you know, I'll light the candles if it makes you happy. All of the different components are strategies of taking charge of one's life. And if you decide that you want to make mitzvahs a part of your life, you can choose the mitzvah of least resistance. You can choose the component of your existence that connects and just start there. And from that, it'll blossom. For example, the power of action. Sefer HaChinuch writes, a person is affected by what he does. A person who does good things becomes a good person. So I'm really not interested in knowing whether you feel empathy to the poor person, or if intellectually you feel it's justified to give charity or not justified to give charity. Why doesn't the guy just get a job? If God didn't provide for him, I'm not going to do anything either. Now, intellectually, we can address those issues, and there are passages in the Talmud about it, why God wouldn't provide, why he wants you to do the mitzvah. That's all fine. But if the person knows, deep down, charity is a good thing, you could go ahead and do the charity even though your emotion is not in it, even though your intellect is not in it. Just because you decided that this is the type of person I want to be. I want to be a charitable person. You'll end up becoming a charitable person. It'll affect. It'll end up affecting intellect. It'll end up affecting emotion. Affecting emotion. The Mesilas Yesharim has a great insight. He writes, just as doing something quickly is a result of inner excitement, so from such behavior can be born an inner excitement. Mm. Last night I told my son he got 10 bonus points, however he earned them. He was entitled to a Slurpee. Now, only a kid can enjoy a Slurpee in sub-freezing weather. But, you know, this is his dream, a 7-Eleven Slurpee. And I told him, you know, we're going out. As soon as we get home, we'll settle the other kids, and I'll go out with you. We'll get you your Slurpee. His look, his animation. I mean, I never saw the coat get on so fast. He's out the door because he's excited. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, if you want to get excited about something, do it as if you're excited about it. We're told, run to do mitzvahs. Why? Why run? Because if you run to do mitzvahs, you'll enjoy doing the mitzvah. Because it'll make you emotionally engaged. And it doesn't only mean run. Our rabbis always talked in Proverbs. They're talking run. It means be motivated. The best mitzvah you'll ever do is a mitzvah that was challenged. A mitzvah that someone tried to get you not to do the mitzvah. Mm. You're walking into a class and your cell phone rings. You're trying to study Torah or you're trying to daven in the morning and the phone rings. You're challenged. What do you do? So, we're trained. The phone comes first. You're in the middle of talking to somebody and the phone rings. I never figured out why the person on the phone is more important than the person I'm talking to. You have a distraction. You do the mitzvah anyway, you will treasure that mitzvah. That mitzvah will click. And you'll enjoy it. You'll connect. But it only happens on a mitzvah that you're challenged. And it's the best thing, once you have that attitude, the best thing that could happen to me is I'm sitting down to open a sefer to do any mitzvah, and you get a distraction. A distraction in your mind. How am I going to balance the checkbook this month? Yeah. And do the mitzvah anyway. I'm not saying not to return your phone calls. They leave voicemails. Return the phone calls promptly. People need your help. Help them. Balance your checkbook. But you get a distraction and you go ahead and do the mitzvah anyway, whether you were excited about the mitzvah before or you weren't excited about the mitzvah is irrelevant. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, act like you're excited and you'll be excited. And we know that Torah is right. We just kind of wish that it should be more enjoyable. Act like it's enjoyable. Make it in your mind like this is the treasure of a lifetime and I'm not giving it up for anything. And you'll feel like that. The minute something is challenged, it's your opportunity to show its value. That's true, by the way, in relationships as well. There's a distraction, there's a reason, not to have time with a spouse, not to have time with a kid, and you decide, and you say it clearly to a child, I could have whatever, but you are more important. That's the greatest relationship builder you could ever have, and it would never exist if not for the challenge. If you followed me until now, you'll appreciate a medrash in the beginning of Genesis. In the beginning of creation, the medrash writes that tov, good, is that Hashem created the yetzer tov, the positive inclination. But tov ma'od, exceptionally good, that's yetzer hara, the evil inclination.
Mm-hmm.
Because tov ma'od, exceptionally good, results whenever you're challenged and you do good. If you weren't challenged, it's good. Mediocre. But if you're challenged, that's the way in this world you could become exceptionally good. And we have control over that. We're the captains of the ship, even on something like emotion. And finally, the power of an open mind. There's a fascinating statement, the very last page of Talmud. It says, whoever studies two laws every day is guaranteed entry to the world to come. Now you get such a quote and you wonder, this is some magic. We all want to be there in the world to come, the messianic age, a time of blessing and goodness. Purpose of creation, finally, we'll see God's plan. You want to get in there? All you got to do is study two laws, two statements of Jewish law every day. Why is that the magic key? And the answer is so simple. Because a person whose attitude is to go with an open mind, I want to learn new things. Not that he's intending not to observe them, but he knows very well that he might not observe them today. The first time we learned about kosher, we didn't right away blowtorch the house and clean it up. First you learn the laws, you prepare to implement it, you move along. The same with everything. But the power of an open mind. I'm willing to study. What happens is, the intellect can be reached. If the intellect can be reached, then eventually the emotion can be reached, eventually the action can be reached. And it's the same whichever direction works for you. Action can do emotion, can do intellect. Emotion can do either. You choose the strategy on any particular mitzvah that works. Again, tomorrow is not a bad word. If the tomorrow is like the tomorrow of Yom Kippur, I'm looking forward to the day when I can implement this. Until then, there's a lot of internal growth, a lot of knowledge that I need to acquire to make it happen. Let's listen to the song again, and then if there are any comments.
Tomorrow is the day I'm gonna change. Gonna be a different man once and for all. Yes, I've had enough of beer and wine. Do I guess it's finally time? Tomorrow is the day I'm gonna change. Tomorrow is the day I'm gonna change. In my bones. Enough park benches alleyways, enough pen hell on rainy days. Tomorrow is the day I'm gonna change. But not today, oh not today. Gonna live it up just one more day, cause I've got time. Oh, I've got time. Hey, brother, Tomorrow is the day I'm gonna change. Gonna undo all the things that I have done. Gonna start again just like brand new. I'm gonna get a good job too. Tomorrow, that's the day. Yeah, I can feel it in the air. Gonna spend time with family and friends. Gonna visit Bobby in LA. Gonna call and tell him about my friend Jay. Tomorrow, that's the day. But not today. Oh, not today. Gonna lay it up just one more day. Cause I've got time. Hey brother, can you pass me down the wine?
Destiny 3, Ellie Nathan. Again, one of the most powerful messages that I pick up in this song is the clarity that the person has that his way of life is not good. Enough park benches and alleyways, he's had enough. But there's a critical item in thinking process of how to pick himself up and snap out of it. What Reb Tzadok described as you have to act with haste. You have to find a point of least resistance, whether it's intellectual, emotional, action. You got somehow make the move so that the process can start. And instead, the impression you get here, very talented guy to write the song, but he's sitting there immobile, in a dreamlike state, dreaming how somehow tomorrow the sugar daddy is going to save him. Yeah.
So maybe it's possible that he doesn't know how and he doesn't know where to start.
Very good. That's typical of people with a problem. Talmud says, Ein chavush matir atzmo. A person who's incarcerated doesn't know how to get himself out. And got to get themselves a lawyer. You got to somehow give the guy a tip, an idea of what he needs to do. But then it's up to him to decide if he does it. There's a rehab place. You could give him the phone number. You could take him there. Ultimately, he has to want. And as long as the song is tomorrow but not today, that's not the spiritual growth that we deal with. But again, I found it fascinating that a healthy perspective of tomorrow is a very Jewish concept. tomorrow's going to be better than today, but I'm working to make that happen. Not just some magical tomorrow, but a very real tomorrow that I'm working towards.
As evidenced by small good doings.
Small good action. May not even be discernible to somebody else. But I'm doing things. I'm studying, I'm doing, whatever it is. And when it's not just tomorrow, it's when anything, when it becomes defeatist thinking, when it becomes an excuse not to take action, so then we have to pick that up and detect that this is not beneficial. And you hear the man describing, he realizes he's not visiting the people in his family that are dear to him. He's got his friend Jay in some dreamlike state that he might still connect with. And it's just not happening.
Is it fair to say it's a Torah-like perspective then to have to think that most people have that ability to make a change?
We believe that this person could get out of it,
right,
if not for this very humorous presentation of defeatist thinking.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Mordechai Rein. For more information, or to bring Rabbi Rein as a guest lecturer to your community, please call 908-770-9072 or email rmrein@teach613.org. You can also visit us on the web at teach613.org.